If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like to ask you to please turn to the book of Malachi. I encourage you to look at God's Word in the book of Malachi, some of the expressions that are made there. There's one particular expression that I want us to look at, but I think the book of Malachi is one of the most beautiful and amazing books. It's one of the most, well, I don't know how to put it into words, but it's amazing here that every time God tells His people that they're doing something wrong, every time that God addresses a problem that they have in their lives, every time they begin to question God like, that's not a problem with us. And I think that probably in all of our lives, there are things that are amiss that if God brings them to our attention, sometimes we don't even realize that those are problems that we have in our lives. God will ask them a question, or God will make a statement, and every time God will make a statement, they throw a question back at God, like God doesn't know what He's talking about. They're arguing with God. We don't esteem God as highly as we ought to. We don't respect God. We don't reverence God as much as we should. We don't reverence God's Word as much as we should, and that's a reflection on how we reverence God, is the way that we reverence His Holy Word. The way that we reverence God's house is also a way that we tell how much a person has reverence for God is how much reverence they have for God's house. I want you to notice a few of these statements, first of all, and we'll go back and look at one particular statement. Malachi chapter 1, I want to read the first two verses. The Word of God says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." And here's what God says. "I have loved you, saith the Lord." Isn't that a wonderful statement? I have loved you. We don't understand the word love today as it's typically almost always used in the Bible. When we talk about love today, I think we're just talking about a feeling in our heart that we love somebody, have a little feeling in our heart for someone. Whenever the Bible talks about God loving us, it's talking about God manifesting love, God showing love, God doing something that manifests love. For example, John 3:16, "For God so," what? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He showed love. That's what the Bible's always talking about when it talks about love. It's talking about showing love, doing something that proves the love that you have. Romans 5:8 says, "God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That's loving somebody, to die for them. That's showing love. That's what the Bible's talking about. God says here, "I have loved you." Let me just say this. If a husband and wife, and I want to encourage everybody here, every couple here, I want to encourage you to go home and do what I'm fixing to tell you to do. I want you to periodically, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, but I want you to sit down with each other and I want you to tell each other ways that you have seen your spouse showing love to you. In other words, I can say to Teresa, "You loved me by cooking a meal. You loved me by washing my clothes. You loved me by cleaning the house. You loved me by saying I love you. You loved me by," you see, the list goes on and on, but I need to be reminded of the way she is loving me. And when I finish, I need to say, "Now you tell me other ways that you have been loving me that I haven't even been aware of." And I expect she will give me a longer list than what I even am conscious of. Because people are loving us and doing things for us, and we don't even pay attention to all that they're doing. And you multiply and magnify that a million times, and you get some idea of the magnitude of the love that God is having toward us, that God is showing toward us. We just walk about our lives like, so what? And God says, "I have loved you." And I want you to watch this now. Verse 2. "I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? What have you done to show your love. Do you hear the response they're making? Can you imagine arguing with God to begin with? But can you imagine God saying, I have loved you, and you not even realize all the different ways that God has loved, is loving you. God is loving you every day. And we'll be praising God a lot more if we realize and think about how much God is loving us. I'll love my wife a lot more if I realize how much she's loving me. I'll love you a lot more if I realize how much you are loving me, how much you're doing for me. You're showing your love. But I don't think we recognize how much people and how much God is showing love. And that's brought out in this one expression where God says, I have loved you, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? What have you done for me? I'll ask you this question. These six people that are here in the front, down here in their wheelchairs that have come from the nursing home 7, do you think these people have they loved me this morning? Have they loved me? What have they done for me? I'll tell you what they've done for me. They've loved me and they've loved God by putting forth a special effort and being in the house of God. They've loved God. And as I go around and speak to them, they show love by the expression and by the handshake. And as I asked some of them this morning, as I usually do, please pray for me to be able to preach. One dear sister said, the Lord is going to bless you. The Lord always blesses you. You know what she was doing? She was encouraging me. She was loving me. Brother Henry, almost every Sunday morning, I say to him, Brother Henry, please pray for me to be able to preach. And he says, preacher, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. God's going to be with you. You know what they're doing? They're loving me. They're encouraging me. They're saying, just calm down. God is in control. It's not up to you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the power of God. And their confidence is in God, not in me. Has God already loved you today? Has God already loved you today? Have you praised God for all the ways He's loved you today? Have you thanked God? You know, one of the problems that the Word of God describes, that when God sees this existing in a nation, when the people in a nation are unthankful to God, that's the last days. They're in their last days when they're unthankful. When God's children are not thankful for what God is doing for them, they're in their last days of having fellowship with Him. Do you realize how much God is loving you? David in Psalm 68:19, he says this. He says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day, He loads us with benefits. I had lots of blessings yesterday. I had a lot of blessings day before yesterday. I had a lot of blessings this week. And everybody here, God has loved you. And God has shown you His love, and God has been good to you. The Word of God says in James 1 and verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where do all of our blessings come from? Every blessing that you have, they all come from God. What is God doing when He gives you those blessings? He is loving you. God says here, I have loved you. And the response of the people is, wherein have you loved us? I think sometimes even in our personal relationships with each other, we would be shocked at how unthankful we are for what people are doing to show their love for us. And sometimes when husbands and wives are having trouble and conflict and angry with each other, the man might say, you don't ever show your love for me. Or she might say, you don't show your love for me. And they're angry with each other. And the reason is, usually, they don't see. They're blind to seeing how much their spouse is loving them. God loves us. I'm not talking about God feels love. God loves us. Shows us love in so many ways. And we need to be a thankful people. And we need to be praising God. Say, thank you, Lord. I want to do something You've done so much for me. Did you know God performed 3 miracles for me in the past 2 days? God performed 3 miracles. 2 of them I can't even tell you about. But I'm telling you, God has performed miracles. And that's besides all those other multitudes of blessings that He's given me. And all the blessings He's given me every day. And God is saying to you this morning, God is saying to you, I have loved you. One of the songs that we sing sometimes says, it's like Jesus is speaking to us, and Jesus says, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou done for me? And all through that song, it's talking about what God has done for us. And the question is asked repeatedly, and what have you done? And how have you shown me that you are thankful for my love, my loving you? Are you thankful for what God is doing to show you His love every day? Let's talk this morning. Let's look at some of the ways that God has loved us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at some of the ways God has loved us. Did you know God loved you before you were ever born? Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God loved you before that. God loved you before the foundation of the world. That's an amazing fact. God loved you. God did something for you before this world ever began. Before God ever said, let there be light. Before God ever created this world, God had already done something for you. God had already loved you. That's expressed in this expression that God foreknew you. That word knew means love. God loved you before the foundation of the world. You know what I ought to be doing as I make a list of the ways that God loves me and is loving me and has loved me? And as I make those long lists, I want to be praising God because of what He's done for me. He's loved me. I want to love Him back. The songwriter says, I want to love Him more. I want to love Him more. He's done so very much for me. I want to love Him more because He's loved me so much. In Ephesians, look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Again, now I want you to remember this. I want you to remember that if you see God loving you, you're going to be praising God and loving God. And if you're not praising God and loving God and serving God every day, if you're not conscious of God's presence and power and blessings, if you're not thankful every day, then you don't see what God's doing for you. You don't see Him loving you. And you're in the same condition that the people of Israel were in. God, through Malachi, said that God said to them, I have loved you. And they said, wherein have you loved us? What have you done for us? What have you done for me? In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul knew what God had done for him. You remember what his name was before he was called the Apostle Paul? What was his name? His name was Saul. And as Saul of Tarsus, he had been going around killing Christians. He thought he was doing God's service. He was killing Christians. When Stephen was being stoned to death, it was Saul of Tarsus that was right there that helped bring that about. This man, Saul of Tarsus, was converted on the road to Damascus. He was changed. And he saw Jesus. And from that point forward, the rest of his life, he saw the blessings, the mercy, the grace of God. And he praised God. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What was he doing right there? He was praising God. Was he thanking God? Was he praising God? Did he know? I have loved you, Saul. I loved you so much that in spite of all your despicable ways, I loved you anyway. In spite of all that you had done, I had mercy on you. In spite of your wretched past, I love you anyway. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved, wretched like me. And whether you know it or not, you were a wretch when Jesus saved you too. And whether you know it or not, you still fall short of honoring and glorifying God. And He's loving you, and He's loving you, and He's doing so much for you. And you're still walking around like, what have you done for me? Wherein have you loved me? What have you done for me today? And then you have a few problems and a few troubles, and you begin to say, well, you know, I don't think God loves me. I'll tell you, brethren, we ought to be ashamed when we doubt that God loves us. Think about all that He's doing for you every day. And then you could actually, honestly, truthfully think, like those apostles said when the storm came up, and they said, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care about us? Does God care about you? Has He shown you that He cares about you? Does He love you? Does He love you? Jeremiah 31:3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Romans 8 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So Paul in Ephesians 1, just before he begins to enumerate ways that God has loved us, in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says, praise God from whom all blessings flow. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where did you get every spiritual blessing that you have? It all came from God. According as, this is verse 4 now, here's a way that God has loved you. According as He, that is God, hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What did God do to show you His love before the foundation of the world? He chose you. He chose you. It's just like if right now I said, you know, if I were to say I have $1,000 in my checking account, and I'm going to pick out 10 of you and give 10 of you $100. And I said, Brother Andy, you come get 100. Sister Lindsay, you come get 100. And I say, Sister Courtney, you come get 100. And I might give 10 of you $100. Would you appreciate it, Brother Andy? At least for 24 hours. You see, $100 doesn't mean as much as it used to. It really doesn't. I was probably 30 years old before I saw a $100 bill. Money just doesn't go as far as it used to. My point is, God loved you before the foundation of the world. He didn't just give you $100. He chose you. Is that a blessing? And let me say this, there was nothing in you that deserved for you to be chosen. See, everybody that I mention, I can tell you reasons I want to give them $100. I can think of a few people on this earth I don't want to give $100 to. Don't want to. If I were to give them $100, you could say, that's grace. That's great. That's love. Loving your enemies. You gave somebody like that $100? Oh, that's the way you were. You think of the worst enemy that you've got. You think of the worst person you can think of on this earth. That's your condition before God was worse than that. And God chose you anyway. Has God loved you? God says, I've loved you. I chose you before the foundation of the world. And then in verse 5 He says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He predestinated us. Is that showing the love of God for Him to predestinate, to determine before the foundation of the world where we were going to be when this world is over, to predestinate, to declare our final destination before the foundation of the world? He predestinated everybody that He chose. He predestinated them to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto Himself. Not because you were good, but according to the good pleasure of His will. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Do you hear what God just did to you for you in verse 6? He hath made us accepted. I want to read it again. He hath made us accepted in Christ Jesus in the Beloved. I want to say it again. Not, you don't find anywhere in the Scripture where God ever says that we are to accept Christ or anyone else accepted Christ. You find where Christ accepted us. Now that's the truth of the matter. We're to believe on Christ. We're to love Christ. But I want us to remember first and foremost, God made us accepted in the Beloved. Did He show His love for you when He made you accepted in the Beloved? Did He show His love for you when He chose you before the foundation of the world? Did He show His love for you when He predestinated you to be conformed to the image of the Son of God and predestinated us unto the adoption of children? Did He show His love for you there? What does God say in Malachi 1:2? I have loved you. I've loved you. I showed my love for you before you were ever even born. Romans 9 says, before the children had done any good or evil, Jacob and Esau, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The amazing thing is not that he hated Esau. The amazing thing is that he loved Jacob. You read about Jacob and you'll see you're just about as wretched, if not more wretched than Jacob. And Jacob did not deserve to be loved by God. And you don't deserve to be loved by God. And yet God says, and God proves, I have loved you. I've loved you. I've loved you. Yet you say, wherein have I loved you? I'm afraid if I had done just quite a bit for you and then you turn around and threw it in my face, what have you ever done for me? You know, just about everybody in this congregation, even relatively new people, all of you have done something for me. You've done something for me. You have loved me. Everybody in this, I don't see anybody here that hasn't done something for me, hasn't loved me. How would you like it if I said, what have you ever done for me? How would you feel, Sister Cindy, if I said that to you? Would that be like a slap in the face? It's worse than a slap in your face when somebody is doing things for you and they are loving you and you're so unappreciative and they can do things for you for years. Your parents, those of you that have godly parents and you think about what all they've done for you, and yet sometimes you act like, what have you ever done for me? Unthankful. God blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God chose us before the foundation of the world. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. God made us accepted in the Beloved. Did God love you before the foundation of the world? Did He do some things for you before the world ever began? Yes, He did. Verse 7, He says, in whom ye have redemption. I'll tell you, brethren, Jesus paid it all. I was redeemed. You were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You think that was love? Can you doubt the love of God when He gave His only begotten Son for you? Can you doubt the love of God? Can you be unthankful to God? Can you stop praising God when He gave His only begotten Son for you? I love all of you very much. I would not give my son. I would not give my son. Do you understand? I love you. God gave His Son, His only begotten Son for you. Did He love you? Look at the love of God. And God says, I've loved you. And He's saying to every one of us today, I've loved you. I redeemed you. And you have received, the rest of that verse says, you have received the forgiveness of sins. He forgave you of all of your sins. Before you were ever born into this world, Jesus died. And He paid for every sin that you have ever committed or ever will commit. They're all blotted out. They're removed eternally as far as the east is from the west. God has forgiven you. Has He loved you? Has He loved you? Is He loving you now? Is He still showing love to you? Listen to Brother Henry over there. Y'all can't hear him. But he's like, yeah. I'll tell you what, brethren. There's some little lambs of God here. You remember when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you remember Abraham said, Lord, if I can find 50 righteous, will you spare us? And God said, yeah, you go find 50 righteous. And then Abraham said, well, Lord, what about 40? What about 30? Probably, it doesn't say how much time elapsed between each of those, but I imagine he went out and started looking and had a lot of trouble, so he came back and said, how about 30? How about 20? What if I can find 10 righteous? Will you spare? Yeah, I'll spare it if you can find. Go find 10 righteous. You know, one of the reasons that God has not already destroyed the United States of America is because of some of the old saints that are still on this earth, and because of their faithfulness to God and their love for God, because of them loving the Lord, God has spared our nation. Isaiah 57:1, I believe, says that you better be careful because the righteous perisheth and no man taketh it to heart, none considering that they are taken away from the wrath that's to come. You let them start dying off. You let them start dying off. And you know what we're going to see? We're going to see hell like we've never imagined in our life. And the only people that God is going to take care of, but will take care of, are those who every day they're seeing and they're saying, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And they're singing and they're saying, Jesus loves me. This I know, because as I look at my life, I see He's loving me. Not just that He loved me before the foundation of the world, but I see He's loving me every day. Is Jesus loving you every day? We can go all the way through chapter 1. We could go to chapter 2, Ephesians 2. And you have He quickened. who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you know if God had not quickened you, you would still be dead in trespasses and sins? And your mom and daddy and the preacher and everybody else couldn't quicken you. It took the power of God to come to you and quicken you. Did he show his love for you by quickening you? And then the scripture says that he has raised us up and blessed us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you ever sat together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord? Have you ever, as Brother Clay spoke this past Sunday night, have you ever climbed up in the throne to him that overcometh? Will I grant to sit with me in my throne? You ever sat with Jesus in his throne? I have. And oh, it's a wonderful blessing. It's only because of the love and the mercy and the grace of God that he'll say, come here, my child. Come climb in my lap. And just like John the Apostle laid his head on the breast of Jesus, Jesus hugged him and loved him. Jesus has hugged you and loved you. God says, I have loved you. I've loved you. David understood that when he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Every day, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't have to worry. My shepherd is going to take care of me. My shepherd has always taken care of me. Has your shepherd always taken care of you? Not saying you're not going to have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't have to fear any evil because he's with you. And his rod and his staff, they comfort you. And sometimes when I'm in the middle of the storms of life, you know what he does? He leads me beside the still waters and he restores. How can you describe the love of God? How can you name all the ways that God is loving you today? And do you hear God? Do you hear God telling you, I have loved you? I have loved you. And do you see that by our actions, oh, we wouldn't, with our mouth, we wouldn't dare say, wherein have you loved us? But by our actions, I think we say quite often, wherein have you loved us? Why do I have to get up and pray to you? What have you done for me? Well, I've got these problems. You don't care about my problems. You haven't fixed my problems. Oh, God's fixed more problems in your life than you can imagine. Let's sing, Jesus Loves Me. And I want you to think about those words, Jesus loves me. It's not just a little song written for little children. It's a song that expresses truth that every one of us ought to rejoice in.